Trade Talks, bringing you the best of the buy side.
Hello there, bit of a new voice on the Trade Talks. Yes, my name is Kaz Cahill. I am the new multimedia journalist for the Trade, and joining me is our new editor, Hayley McDowell.
Hello, Kaz. Lovely to join you today for our podcast. It's been a while.
Yes, well, this is our renewal of our old podcast, but it's going to be bigger and better. And yeah, we've got some interesting stories to look at from what we've been looking over the past quarter. So yeah, let's run into it. What have you been looking at, Hayley?
So I guess the first quarter we've had some big developments in the industry so far. A couple of stories that caught my eye. So I would say definitely this one about the National Stock Exchange of India, which according to statistics from the Futures Industry Association, they actually surpassed US exchange group CME to become the largest derivatives exchange globally by trading volume. So I thought that was really interesting, something that was really well read on the website. I think a lot of people were quite interested in that one. I think, you know, it was a big year for derivatives trading last year. So the statistics from FIA show that it was actually a record year for global exchange traded derivatives markets, which surged 13.7% to a record 34.47 billion contracts. So that was quite a big one.
Big one. So what I've been looking at is the Eurex answer to the buy side. Basically, they're offering more ESG derivatives. And this is basically a trend which we've been seeing. I mean, ESG, constantly hearing about this. But yeah, so Eurex are answering the calls of the buy side, who have been demanding more ESG derivatives to trade on.
That's quite an interesting story in itself. I think we hear very regularly from Eurex that, you know, this ESG derivatives is quite a big focus for them at the moment. I know through last year, you know, and again, it's continuing into this year. We've seen ESG futures options arrive at the exchange. So definitely a focus. And I expect to hear a lot more around not just the ESG derivatives, but ESG in general will continue to be a trend this year. So yeah, that's definitely another one to keep an eye on.
So also what I've been looking at is the Cobalt adding Standard Chartered to its expanding shared ledger technology. Now, over the past month, they've been taking on many of these institutional players. We have had Citi join them recently. We've also had Sukden Financial, as well as Saxo Bank, Deutsche Bank, and XTX Markets. So over this past month, they've been really bringing everyone onto the shared ledger technology and what it's doing for them. It's giving them cost-saving benefits, and this is because it's sharing all the information on one network for post-FX trading. And the more players they have added onto it, the more data they have, so it's more of a building of the network. But over this past month, in February, they have been really bringing a lot of people, big players, into it. So one to look out for and one to keep an eye on to see who else is going to join this network.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting one. I think definitely the shared ledger technology aspect of it, you know, the fact that we do see these larger banks like Citi, Deutsche Bank, XTX Markets, you know, these big institutions that are now looking and implementing the technology. It's interesting to see, you know, a lot of it's in the post-trade space at the moment, which, you know, I think the technology is more suited towards. But yeah, Cobalt has definitely been doing some interesting things so far this year. So we will definitely be keeping an eye on that. And I expect that we will probably hear more from those guys.
So is there anything else you've been looking at?
I would say another theme that we've seen, or I've been personally keeping a close eye on, is the ICE ETF hub. So as we all know, you know, ETFs are growing exponentially across the industry around the world. And there was a story out this morning, it might have been earlier this week, which stated that they had reached a new record, the ETF hub at ICE. They actually processed 27 billion in notional. So that's really huge. And I think it was interesting to hear that the bulk of that was actually fixed income ETFs. So, you know, we all know that fixed income ETFs is one of the biggest, fastest growing segments of the ETF market. So that's interesting to see. But, you know, on top of that as well, we got a little bit more information from ICE on the ETF hub itself. So just to give you guys a bit of background, the ICE ETF hub is looking to support the ongoing growth of ETFs by allowing clients and people in the ecosystem to assemble and place, create redemption baskets automatically, but through a more standardized way, which I think is maybe the key here for this ecosystem. So we got an update from ICE earlier in the year, I think it was during their first quarter earnings call, and that's when Jeff Sprecher, CEO of ICE, confirmed that JP Morgan, Bank of America, Citadel Securities and Virtue Financial were among the first to join the ecosystem as authorized participants. And then shortly after that, we also heard that Goldman Sachs had come on board as well. So we've got some major players that are really getting into this space now. And obviously, you know, we've got these exchange groups that are looking to facilitate that growth, which is interesting.
So one company I've been looking at on a few stories is Aquis. Now, Aquis, they've just been given the green light for a takeover of NEX. It's a £2.7 million takeover. And basically, the UK's FCA has handed them the approval. And what does this mean?
The Aquis deal is a really interesting one. I think this is the chance for Aquis to branch out into listings. And also, you know, it's really exciting to see that exchange, which is relatively, you know, a baby, really. Not long formed, but, you know, with industry veteran Alistair Haynes behind it, it's, you know, it's up and coming, and it's previously gone public. So there's definitely a lot of things happening there. I think the acquisition of Next Exchange is really interesting. I know that we were expecting that to close at the end of last year, so there may have been some delay. I'm not sure what that was about. But the latest update this week is that the FCA have indeed given them the green light. So that's going to be an interesting one once that Next business is integrated. It's going to be interesting to see how Aquis then moves forward with that. And just for everyone's reference as well, so Aquis is acquiring Next Exchange from CME, which of course acquired Next Group a couple of years ago.
So just while we're on Aquis, another people move coming is the financial pundit David Buke, who's going to join the exchange as a consultant. And now it's quite interesting because you said it's a baby company, still finding its feet. So bringing in someone who's a financial commentator, appeared on Sky, CNN. What could this bring to the company? What do you think Aquis Exchange is getting from taking such a big name?
I think it's an interesting move, and I think it just goes to show, you know, how much Aquis has perhaps moved on from being that startup exchange, that challenger exchange, to becoming something that's a little bit more cemented in the market now. I know that they're increasingly winning more market share across Europe. So, you know, this people move is just, I guess, another signal that the company is cementing itself in the marketplace, definitely. And I would definitely say this quarter, Goldman Sachs has been doing some interesting stuff. So first of all, they have inked a deal with Bloomberg. And I'm not sure if everyone knows, but Goldman Sachs and Bloomberg have been working with each other for a very long time. In 2018, Goldman actually agreed to take on Bloomberg Tradebook's equities clients. So there's a long-standing relationship there. So it was no surprise to hear that Goldman has now inked this new deal with Bloomberg to incorporate their data, their reference and pricing data, with its new Marquee platform for institutional clients. So the Marquee platform is what Goldman describes as being the digital storefront of its securities division. And it basically allows people to hedge portfolio risk and execute trading strategies across asset classes with that market intelligence, risk analytics and proprietary data sets. So that's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on in terms of the adoption of that platform, in terms of Goldman's plans for that for the future. You know, I'm keen to sort of get in front of those guys and ask them a few questions on that. Looking forward to hearing more about the Marquee platform itself. But perhaps more interesting from a market structure side, we had an update from MEMEX, which is a members exchange, the US exchange group that's launching later this year. So those of you that follow market structure will know that MEMEX was born out of the debate in the US around market data and the costs of market data and market access, something we followed very closely at the trade. And I think, you know, our readers were certainly interested in the subject. Kaius, I know you recently wrote about the SEC, you know, and the changes that the SEC are looking to make around that sort of governance of research, of market data costs.
It was like really kind of shocking at basically dictating the price of the data and really having a monopoly on the market. So it was really quite shocking. And yeah, very interesting to see how regulation could come in to kind of put the reins on the horse so they can't have full control, because it was really like, yeah, a monopoly. Kind of whoever has the power, they have the power of the data. So it was very interesting for me to see that this was actually playing out, and interesting to see how the people who were buying this data were dealing with it, because it put them on the back foot. If they couldn't afford the data, they weren't getting people investing with them, they weren't getting clients. So it was very, a real kind of hot topic. Yeah. And it's interesting to see where it will go following this.
It was a definitely a heated debate last year. I know that we had all of the big Wall Street players that sort of gave their views on it. And it seemed to certainly be exchanges versus, you know, the big banks and the buy side as well. So the interesting thing was that soon after this big debate was held in the US, and it is ongoing, even though the SEC has recently confirmed that it's looking to change that structure, which could be interesting for the exchanges, right? Because market data is a big part of their business. They make a hell of a lot of money off of that. So it will be interesting to see the impact that could have on the exchanges moving forward. But out of that debate, we've seen the birth of Memex. So this was this was announced last year, and we've got the big players involved in this, and we're talking retail and institutional players. So we've got Bank of America, we've got Charles Schwab, Citadel Securities, E-Trade, Fidelity, Morgan Stanley, TD Ameritrade, UBS, and Virtu Financial have all teamed up to launch their own exchange. So this is a massive development, and it's, you know, they've got Jonathan Kellner at the helm now. He's the CEO. He's the former CEO of Instanet. So the SEC has given them Memex approval to launch on the 24th of July this year. So that will be really interesting. But perhaps more interesting is the fact that Memex confirmed earlier this quarter that Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and Jane Street have also joined the venture now. So they're on board as investors. But you know, you see these big firms all getting involved in this project. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that will take on NASDAQ, NYSE, Cboe, these big exchange groups. I think the landscape in the US, we could see some big changes for the exchanges, you know, and particularly the monopolies or the market data debate. There's a lot of things that are coming to the surface now, and they're almost coming to a head where the industry might see some real life changes.
So it's going to be a very hot and fiery summer once that goes through.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm really excited to you know, see that one play out, definitely.
Now, I'm sure you guys have all tired of hearing about it. The coronavirus, you can't escape it on the news, but it is affecting the industry as well. So what do we know what's happening? Apart from a number of events and conferences being cancelled across Europe, in Britain, in America. So it is affecting the industry. How's it affecting us here in London?
It's been a bit of a weird one. So we know that some of the big banks are splitting their offices in half or relocating traders to disaster recovery sites, which are on the outskirts of London, Croydon, that, you know, those kind of towns. So it's been a bit of a weird one. Markets have been swinging wildly, you know, in the past couple of weeks as investors try to comprehend the impact of coronavirus. I guess for some traders, they may say, well, this is good, right? We've been waiting for this kind of volatility for years. We've had big news events that haven't really translated to markets. So I think, you know, in an odd kind of way, this volatility is potentially a good or exciting time for some of the traders in the industry, I would have thought. But yeah, we're seeing offices being split. We're seeing disaster recovery sites being opened up. Yeah, it's for us, it's business as usual, right?
Oh yeah, we're still working hard. But it's quite interesting that all these banks are laying out a contingency plan. Because, yeah, one person goes sick, your whole office is out. So it does make sense to split it. Maybe people are saying, no, calm down. But, you know, play it safe. And I think fair enough, if you know, in how it is right now, to play it safe. So apart from that, yeah, we have had having conferences closing and basically markets took a little hit. But it's just one of those ones which we're going to see develop. And we just have to see how this pandemic will go. I did air quotations there when I said pandemic. So that's all we have time for today, but we're going to be running out these podcasts on a frequent basis, so you can always join me and Hayley by just subscribing to our channel, following our page. And listen, we always throw out a newsletter every day, so subscribe to that. And obviously, you can always find the news at thetradenews.com. Thank you for listening.